you know, I was thinking to myself, we're going to be doing the Patterson short-term mission this week, and a lot of us have different things going around in our minds, words and stuff like that. So forgive me if I go off in the direction of one of the stories instead of what I planned for today. And so there's a lot of different things that we're talking about through the week and different Bible stories, but I'm just kidding. We have a really wonderful message from God today for us that we want to look at together. And there are different verses there, but that's really just the shell of it. It's just the basics, right? The Bible is filled with all of the goodness of God and his creation and what it means for us in all these different ways. And so, you know, the Genesis has the real beginnings for us, and it's a tremendous book that, if we take time to read through it, it changes us. It gives us a whole different kind of outlook on life. Yourself, and you're faced with yourself in a good way. And that's what we want to do today. We want to keep it going in the direction of celebration of God, the creator. Now, last week we began this whole series by talking about what a world view is, right? I almost said world series. That's something else. But the world view, right? What is a world view? So I just want to remind you, that we came up with a basic, description of what a worldview is. It's a framework or a set of fundamental beliefs through which we view the world and our calling and our future in it. It's very important. Remember, it's not just how we view the world, but it's our calling in it and also our future in it. And so how do we view the world? What is your world? I think there used to be a TV show that said My World and Welcome to It. I don't know if you remember that or you've heard that before. My world and welcome to it. Well, we each have a world that we possess in a certain way. You know, we've been given this life and you are who you are. You know, Alex introduced Maris as being the beautiful wife of her husband there. And she is, you know, and to him, and she's very special. But that's part of her world, right? And part of his world. And so we all make up each other's world here also in this church. We don't come here merely to do something and then go home and don't interact. We come together and we commune and we sing and we praise and we read the Bible together. We get to know each other. We share in one another's joys, and we also join together in each other's sorrows, right? And that is what the body of Christ does. And so that is part of our world, right? And it's hopefully a very important one for all of us, because it is important. It came from God, you know, in that kind of a way. So when you go out, you know, into your world and you go into this world, you know, you can start to think about, okay, so instead of just going along with everything that I'm doing at church, what does it mean to me? You know, what is this all about? You know, why am I doing this? Not just because I was told to, although there is some value in that, because people guide one another. But why are you here? You know, what is God going to say to you? Do you understand that God gave you your life so that he can speak to you and share himself with you? There's many things like that, right? So as we begin today, we're going to be looking at one of several themes that help us to be able to understand the Christian worldview, okay? We're not going to talk a lot about other worldviews. I think it would be important for us to do that sometime, you know, to what are the other philosophies? What are the things that people believe in? But for the most part, we want to concentrate mainly because of time, and mainly because we are focusing and trying to understand who we are before we start to talk about others, right? We want to have a good understanding of that. What do we believe, you know, as Christians? Well, the first and fundamental part of our belief is in creation. And so that's the part that we're looking at today. And that's why Beverly was reading in Genesis about Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that is a fundamental worldview of us as Christians. We believe in God. Now, you may feel like that's so obvious, but you need to know, everybody, that there are many people in this world that don't. They don't believe in God. They don't believe that he created everything, right? And everything came into being through him. They have other ways of looking at things. Maybe they were never exposed to the Bible, or perhaps they were and they were turned off by something else or whatever it was, but there are different views on why or who we are and why we're here, right? And those are questions that worldview helps us to answer, right? I remember in Germany, there was a girl there in our church, and we had a youth group, and I came in there, and I was learning German as I went along and trying to, but I was really interested in these kids, and I got to know a couple of them, and this girl said to me, you know, you're the only person that ever asked me the question, why are we here? She was a teenager. She had already lived her life into her teens. You know, she was in her later teens, but she said, nobody ever asked me that kind of question. And it kind of rubbed her the wrong way, but it was also helpful, right? It causes a person not just merely to do stuff, but to think why you're doing it and what is life about. And so we want to embrace this idea of understanding who we are. And as Christians, we believe in God. And we also believe in God, the creator. A very fundamental thing, but it's important for you to understand that. It's God, the creator, right? He gave me my life. I have my life because of God, okay? Now, the creator and the creation are distinct. You know what that means? God is God, and the creation came from him. But God is not the creation, right? They're distinct. The creator is not to be confused with his creation as if the universe itself were divine, right? And that's where people start to get off. There's a couple of views like pantheism and paganism, which believe God is matter. So that, in other words, God is the sun. God is the moon. God is that mountain. There's a guy that I read about I came across this story of someone who was talking to a surfer in California or somewhere. And this guy was talking to him about, you know, this subject and trying to get to know the God. And the guy took his surfboard and he said, this is my God. That is an example of the worldview that says that God is the creation. It's not that God created things or that God created the materials that go into making a surfboard. It's that they believe that the surfboard is their life. And that's what we were talking about last week, right? That the ultimate, what's most important to you, that can become a God, right? We worship something. Everybody worships something. I was mentioning Bob Dylan saying that, you know, he wrote this great song when he became a Christian. He wrote this song that was talking about, like, you got to serve somebody. Everybody's going to serve somebody. It might be the devil, it might be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. And this is a guy who is, you know, a very, very famous folk and rock singer in this world and known throughout the world. And he came out and he said that, you know, you might love a surfboard, or you might worship the Lord. Can we stop this thing from doing that? Maybe turn it down a little bit. It's doing something. Because I think it might get in our way a little bit, right? So there's different things depending on what that person who said, this is my surfboard, he really probably felt like that, but he didn't know the God who created the universe, right? So he's looking at these kind of things like the material things and saying, that's my God. Have you ever run across, raise your hand if you ran across somebody in your life who was saying that I worship this. This is the thing that I worship, you know? Right, there's lots of different things, right? In some cultures, they worship their ancestors, right? They worship them, but the Bible teaches us, and we as Christians, and this is just basic to us, and forgive me if you're hearing something that you already know, but we need to know this in this world that we're living in, that people need to understand that as Christians, we believe that God is the creator and that we came from him. Okay. So that's where that is. Okay. So now we also need to know that God is the triune God. The Bible teaches us that he is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Father would be, you know, someone who would be the parent. And so God is the one who creates you and me, right? And we need to be comfortable with that, okay? And not only comfortable with that, but convinced of that. And there's commitment in a worldview. Not wishy-washy, like, okay, well, if this person disagrees with me, I'm going to feel foolish, so I'm just going to just not say anything about my God. We want to say, no, let's talk about this. I believe the Bible, and I want to know what you think, but let me tell you what I think, right? That God is my creator. He made me. right? And he's also the Son and Holy Spirit, and they're all one God. It's one God in three persons. Creation is the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, have you ever thought of that? Have you ever considered that? When you think that God is the creator, did you ever consider that it's not only God the Father, but it's also the Son and the Holy Spirit all in one, that we're involved in the creation of the world and of you? Right? So let me go into this a little bit. Genesis 1:2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. This was at the beginning of the book of Genesis, so we see it there. And then we go to this, this is really the thing where this is the most important, because we're talking about the Christian worldview, which means Christ. Christian, right? We follow Christ. Christian, these followers of him, right? So it's important that we know why. It says in 1 Corinthians 8:6, there's one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we exist. Let me read you another one. It's very important. Colossians chapter 1, 16 to 17. For in him all things were created, talking about Jesus Christ, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. And in him all things hold together. This universe is held together by Jesus Christ. Okay? It's important to know, because all things were created at Christ's command. They are subject to his authority, and everything relates to Jesus Christ, and not in the entire universe can be properly or completely understood apart from Jesus. If you want to understand the world, you have to understand Jesus. You have to know Jesus Christ. That's what we believe in Christian worldview, right? Now, Christianity is a Christ-centered worldview, and Jesus is not merely the agent of redemption. When you talk to me or I talk to you, we'll say, Jesus is my Savior, he's my Lord, he's my friend, he's my shepherd. Do you ever say, Jesus is my Creator? We need to begin doing that. I have life because of Jesus Christ, and it's not just in the new kind of born-again kind of thing. It was that he was there at the beginning when man came into being. It's in the Bible. That's what we just read, right? He is creator God. The universe was made by him, through him, and for him, and more. Right? Hebrews 1:3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. We need to have this understanding of who Jesus is. It isn't just like this person that we're shy about sharing as our Savior and that we believe in him because he forgave my sins. We have to have this kind of excitement and celebration in us that says, Jesus is the Creator God who gave me my life. He was there before I was even coming into existence, and before the world even came into existence, he was there with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and everything was made through him. That's what we believe as Christians. That's what we have to celebrate. We're far too apathetic about it. We're far too shy about saying what it is. And maybe we need to get to know who Jesus is a little bit more through reading the Bible. And not just think, okay, now what is it I'm supposed to say when I explain Jesus Christ to people that they need him in their life? Right? We are ambassadors for Christ this year. We are learning to be ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors for Christ do not come and say, make excuses for Jesus. Oh, would you be open to hearing, you know, something that it's like, I have something really important to tell you here. And somebody told me about it and I learned it in God's word. Let me tell you what that is. And let me tell you about who he is. Right. And so this is all that part of it. Did you ever think that that was your worldview? And it needs to be. Right? We need to learn that that is an important part of it, right? It says in Acts 17:24-7, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. That's what we're talking about here. There's a distinction, the distinction between God the creator and then the creation, right? He is far greater than someone that just lives in a temple that people go in and bow down to, right? He's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. This is an act. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. And from one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. He's not far from any one of us. That means everyone. He's not far from them. We make it that way sometimes. I think that as Christians and myself too, it's like I was saying, we're far too shy about this. We need to use the scripture to help people to see that he's not far from you, okay? You're going through things and maybe you believe, can you consider this? Right? And it's shown through that. It says in Matthew 6:26-30, even the lilies of the field are under his loving care. So why would not human beings be under his loving care? Right. This is what creation and this worldview is helping us to be able to see through God's word, right? But then it goes into this area, Romans 1:19-20. Since what may have been known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse. It's really that plain. And what Paul is saying here is since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities, right? It says here, eternal power, divine nature have been clearly seen. Can somebody tell me how you see God? How is it clear that he exists?
We exist.
What else?
Nature.
Thank you. The things that are all around us. And we walk around like this, you know, and that's what we see. But look around, or we look in, you know, and we get all complicated with those things, but it's obviously there, right? God has created. We see the beauty of the earth. When I see the sun or the moons or a beautiful view of the sunset over the ocean, I'm thinking, praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise God. You know, he is the one that has made this possible. He's the one that made all these things for me to take in. And to look at, right? And that's what we're talking about here. We had that in the songs today. And then we also have it in Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. We have it in our confessional. To the glory of your holy name. You know, we read through these things and we do this on a weekly basis, but a lot of times we read through it rotely, right? But when we have the word of God working in us and God is speaking to us through his spirit, these things jump out and they teach you to the glory of your holy name. That is what I am confessing these sins for. I want to no longer be a part. I want to take this forgiveness that you have freely given to me, Jesus, and I want to live for you and give glory to your holy name. And that's what we've been talking about. That's where we're going to go with this too, right? So creation teaches us who God is and who we are. Who am I and why am I here? These are questions of worldview. And these are ones I really want to encourage you. Someone taught me that, to say that kind of a thing to this young lady in Germany. I want you to consider people in your life and to ask, begin with yourself, who am I and why am I here? God will bless it. And then you seek him and you will find out what he has to say about who you are and why you're here. And I hope that this will help today. Christianity says that our lives come from God. So God said, let us make man in Genesis 1:26. We did not make ourselves and thus we cannot claim any right to define our identity. Okay. Now that might rub some people the wrong way. Don't tell me what I should think about myself. Well, I'm not telling you. I'm telling you that God created you and that we are answerable to the Creator. And I'm not saying that in a mean way. I'm saying that in a beautiful way because he's beautiful. We want him to be our God, the Creator, because look at all the things that he's made, the beauty of the earth. Look at the people that are beautiful in our lives, the children, all these different things that we have. Who we are and what we are is ordained by God our Maker. That is the Christian worldview. Who we are and what we are is ordained by God our Maker. Genesis 1:28-30. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.
He said, I will give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it, and they will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. He blessed us, and it was so. Those are the things. Can you hear in the way that this is written how beautiful it is to explain how much abundance God has given to you and me? We don't have any time to waste on things that are going to be bringing us down when we have a celebratory kind of a God there that is giving us so much in our lives. Man, let's stop doing that. Let's be celebratory Christians, people that are going to be thinking, wow, we have so much hope. And we're going to go into Patterson with that and tell children that are sitting there coming for a recreation kind of a time there, being dropped off in these places by their parents for the day. And we have been given, through God's arranging, the opportunity to go into these places and share the Creator, God, Jesus Christ, with them. How far out is that? And we all have that opportunity in our lives every day. The Lord commanded the man, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die. He guided our lives. He's telling us what to do. He's telling us, and those are the things that we want to receive and understand as our Christian worldview. And we need to understand that that is the way it is. It's in God's word. And the reason why many people rebel against dependence on God is that they would prefer to determine their own destiny. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They preferred to determine their own destiny instead of taking what God deemed for them, what he told them. And he was saying to this, and look at all that I've given to you. Is it really too much to ask that you would just do this and not do that? Right? Many people believe this. There's no human nature because there's no God to have a conception of it. That's what people, there's no such thing as human nature because there's no God to have a conception of it. Man is nothing else by which he, than other than that which he makes himself. We are what we make of ourselves. Have you heard that kind of a worldview?
Yeah.
Right? Raise your hand if you have. You are what you make of your life. Right? But the Christian worldview is much more centered around God, right? They're saying that if what we are is not given to us by God, then we are free to live as we please. If I don't believe there's a God, then I can have freedom to do whatever I want. That is the worldview that we're looking at, this other one, right? So I'm not going to say there's God. I grew up with a guy, a friend of mine, Scott. I love the guy. I loved his family. They went to another church. I'm not going to talk about the different, it wasn't a Christian church, but it was a cult kind of a church. And they went there, and the teaching there was there is no sin. Sin is in your mind. If you don't think about sin, it doesn't exist. You follow me? Now, these are things, these are still being practiced all around us. If it's bad and it's not something pleasant, all I need to do is control my mind and it won't exist for me. And it gives me all this freedom to do whatever I want. The Bible is saying that if you really want to know life and you really want to have a fulfillment in life and you really want to know what life is about, you're not going to suppress the truth and say, well, it just doesn't exist. You're going to acknowledge that it does exist because everyone should be honest enough to be able to say, I've done something wrong in life. And then also to receive the grace of God that he gives you the gift to be able to be forgiven of your sins and to be a new person. That's freedom that God gives. And it's under God because God is our creator. He's the one that gave us this life. Doing as I please is the dominating desire that is found in Western cultures, especially today. And the result we see are broken lives. Christian's worldview says human beings are not the random result of molecules in motion. We are the crown of creation. We are not an accident. We are the highest product of creative design, the object of divine affection and intention. Although we come from the ground, God breathed life into us to make us living things, body and soul. The Lord, it says in Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. I believe it. I believe that. We are made in his image. This is a big one. Important because it's mentioned three times within two verses. Genesis 1:26 to 27. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Guys, I wrote this down, and when I was reading this last night, I wrote this. This is of immense importance and beauty. To be made in the image of God means that to a certain extent, we are like God. Look at what we have seen so far in this sermon here and the things that God was bringing out in his word. We are like God in that we are individuals, but we are also of community. There was a man, he was alone, he was lonely. God formed a woman for him, and they were in community, the relationship together, right? God is the God of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There is community, there is relationship, and he makes us in the same way. Is that really so hard to accept, right? And to be able to see that we were actually formed this way by God, who is a relational God, a personal God, right? What else did I write? I was saying, okay, also, we are like God in that we as individuals possess creativity, right? A very obvious one. There's all kinds of different things we can talk about being, you know, in the image of God, but God is the creator, right? Yeah. So he made us creative. We're like him. We're in his image. And so that opens up an enormous amount of space for freedom in the world to express ourselves, but it needs to be with an acknowledgement that we come from God. We come from him. And when we are in him, then our possibilities are much more numerous than if we were not to include him. The false thinking that we have as human beings is that we're going to be better off by not thinking about him. Just let me do what I want to do. And the Bible is saying, no, don't do that. It's so much better with God because he's the one that you came from and he gave you all these things, right? So beautiful. Why would you want to reject him? Why would you want to do that? There were times when I rejected God. I came to my senses. I saw, you know, there isn't anything else that's better in this world. It's only God. It's something, and he is something that we can be proud of and rejoice in. I'm proud to say that I am made in the image of the Holy God. I'm proud and rejoicing in the fact that Jesus came to earth to save me from my sins so that I wouldn't die, so that I would have eternal life. That is what turns my life around. That is what I'm about. That is going to be, as I formulate and I do this with you all together, what my worldview is. You're going to hear a lot more from what John Maxim thinks about Jesus Christ and about God, because I am convinced, and I am really actually guarding against anybody that I know doing something else, because I am convinced that he is the way to everlasting life. And he's the source of each of my life in the first place, right? The divine image gives us an important clue about what human beings are made of. If who we are is a reflection of who God is, then we do not exist by ourselves or for ourselves, but in relationship to God. God has made us like himself so that we can hear him and know him and love him and worship him and serve him. Can you say that with me? Hear him. Know him. Love him. Worship him. Serve. That's a church. It's a life. Westminster Shorter Catechism is a brilliant writing that people came together to form, and it says that our purpose in relationship to God is to glorify him and enjoy him forever. Enjoy him forever. To glorify him and enjoy him. That is what we are. We are the image of God. We're connected to him. He made us for that purpose, so that we can enjoy him, right? And to do those kind of things. We're made to display God's triune majesty, and we have no purpose or significance apart from him. Psalm 115, verse 1 says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be given glory. Glory to God. Can we say that? Glory to God. Glory to God. How do we give glory to God? Okay, I'm going to go fast. It's too much for one day, but I'm just going to give you some things here to consider, okay? Since God saw everything that he has made, and behold, it was very good, in Genesis 1:31, we can say that Christianity is a world-affirming worldview that embraces the entire creation as a gift from God. The entire creation as a gift from God. We acknowledge that it is. This extends the goal of glorifying God to every aspect of life. Whatever we're doing, playing basketball, baseball, shoveling snow, choosing artwork to put up on the wall, we can say, God, this is for you. It's for your glory. What is one thing that you in your life can do to give glory with what he has given you? What is one way? There's so many different ways, right, that we can give glory to God. You see, this whole thing, and the reason that I'm getting animated with my body is because it's bigger than anything that I am. You see, the glorifying of God, it's bigger than someone. It explodes within us and it comes out so that we forget about everything else and we only see him before us, and we're thinking, man, I just want to spend my time doing the glory of God. And the great thing is I get to do it with all of you, and you're doing the same things. We're all exploding from within because we are so overwhelmed with the beauty of God and the fact that he would love us and that he wants us to know him and he wants us to worship and he wants us to serve him. He wants us to celebrate Christmas. He wants us to celebrate birthdays. He wants us to celebrate life. And it all starts with him. And that's why we give our lives to him. Our praise. Let me go down a list real quick. Our praise, rejoicing and proclaiming his glory. We do it here at church. We can do it every day of our lives. Our bodies, it's not the source of sinful corruption or a prison that the soul needs to escape. Our entire body can be used as an instrument of serving God. Amen?
Amen.
You use your body as an instrument of your, think about it. Joni, what's her name? Erickson Fada? Right. She dives into off of a buoy or something. Yeah, in a lake, and she damages her spine and she's paralyzed. So what does she use to glorify God?
Her mouth,
her teeth. She holds the paintbrush that she paints pictures with in her teeth. And she uses that because nothing can stop her from using her body, that what she has use of, for the glory of God. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Nothing can stop. Christian worldview celebrates sexual intercourse as a gift to be received in marriage with gratitude, reverence, and joy. I know that this is a delicate kind of a subject, but I'm sorry, it's part of it. God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. This is designed to be fulfilled through marital relations. Their sexual intimacy was the seal of their covenant relationship, expressing their total spiritual union in covenant with God. This is one example of how we can express the glory to God. We oftentimes think of it as this type of a thing that we would rather not talk about in public, but it's all around us, and it's around us in a terrible way. It's in a way that is demeaning to women. It's demeaning toward human life. All of the stuff that we see, the way that people are expressing sexuality and the way that they're doing these things, it is totally lost from what God had intended for people to do. That is something that we need to understand, okay? We need to understand that the people that are doing these things around us, just on a basic level of putting Penthouse or Playboy magazine on stands when I was a kid, in these marketplaces next to the cash register where you could go and be tempted to look at it, what is good about that? And that's just like the tip of the iceberg, right? I mean, think about it, what's going on in the world today and how people get messed up in that kind of a way, right? The doctrine of creation affirms marriage and the family, the basic love relation and building block of human society. But the Bible also teaches us that there are great strengths in being single and not being married, that that you can devote your time to God in that kind of a way. And so there, we have both things at work, and we all have this going on in God's church, a relational place where you don't have to be married, you don't have to be single, but you come together with brothers and sisters, and that's the relation of it. That we're here together for that purpose, to express the image of God, right? Our work. Work is also something that glorifies God and the things that we do. We can look at our work as being, and if it's kept in the right place, and if it's used in the right way, and if it's not becoming one of our gods, or if it takes too much of our time away from God, then work is a perfect example of what God is doing in the world, that he can help people greatly through our gifts in our work, glorifying our God in rest as well, and in leisure. These are all these things that we do, and that we express ourselves and do things and have fun and have that kind of a relationship with other people and sharing in those things, right? You do things that are fun, right? But God, you also have to understand that that too can be a glorifying of God. That we don't just say, wow, I had a good workout today, but you said, man, I really feel good inside. God, thank you so much. Thank you so much. That I can do that, I can have fun, and I can compete, and I can have fun with tennis, or I can go to Planet Fitness, and I can work out, and I can do these kind of things, you know, but enjoy life. It's what God has gifted us with, and it all comes from him. So we just have to understand that that is coming from the Creator God. He designed us to follow his pattern of labor and leisure. Science and creation care, right? The environment, taking care of the environment. God designed us, right, to follow this pattern in the science and the things that are in science. Of course, we don't want to worship science. We don't want to worship things that are going to replace God like that, right? That isn't the point. But the point is that we can very effectively know more about God and his greatness through the scientific experiments and the study, right? I mean, all those things are all coming in from our worldview on God. And what is the main thing? To give him glory, right? So music and arts, the same thing. Let me tell you something. I was watching, I'll close up to this, but there was a guy that I was watching on television. He wasn't a Christian, but I thought it was very interesting. His name was Arif Mardin, or Mardin. He was a Turkish American, and he was a very, very talented producer of music. He had immense talent in writing music, and he was a producer. So a lot of times you'll listen to the Grammy Awards and they'll come up there and they'll say the best album of the year is this one. And then they say the producer's name. The producer is the person who is behind making the artist and the people that create the music and have the ideas for the music, making them better. He goes in and he starts to write orchestrations that are going to bring out a different feeling and a different kind of a tone to the music, so that it's not just the playing guitar playing in the song, but they come into this kind of a situation. And what his gift was in addition to being an incredible musician and very talented with gifts for music and having a feeling, a sensitivity on how to orchestrate things, he loved people. And the people that worked with him trusted him, so that when he came in and he gave them advice and he said, you know, I think you could do this, and maybe if you do this, it'll make it even better, and things like that. And I couldn't help but think, guys, that when I was listening to that, of God, that he's coming, he makes us, right? And he knows us better than anybody. He wants to know our lives. He wants to know us more, and he wants us to know him more. And he wants to express himself in ways that will just let him, you know? If we'll just let him in, he can do things in our lives that are going to be able to make us so effective, so great, you know, to be his and things like that. But this producer guy goes in there and he'll talk to a person and say, you know, I think you've got a really great voice. I was thinking maybe we could take it from this angle and maybe we could add these instruments and we could do this and it would be even better. What do you think about that? And then the people are like, let's try it out. And so there was this great creative kind of a relationship, an environment going on. So they were openly discussing things together, but there was trust. There was trust between the people that I want you to use this so that you're going to be better. The guy won, I don't know how, countless awards. He was nominated 18 times as a producer. He worked with Ringo Starr. He worked with Phil Collins. He worked with all these different people. And the music that we enjoy has this person who's in the background we never hear of. And he's there and he's making these people effective. And their music comes out and is famous because people like him cared and wanted them to do well. That explains what God is about. He comes into our lives. He's not this force that comes and slams the door shut on things that we want to do and says, you better do what I say. He comes in a relationship. He comes with love. We sang about it today. He comes into your life. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him as his image, the one that he has created, and he wants you to live and live for his glory. And those are the conditions. They're okay with me. They're okay with me, God. Glory to your name. I just want you to get the credit. But these are all things that go on all around us in the world that God has put in place. This guy may not be a Christian, but he was made by the Creator. We want people to know that there's more to life than just this time that we're in now. Habakkuk 2:14 says this, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. As the waters cover the sea, so will the earth be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. That's awesome. Let me tell you one last thing. I was talking with a friend of mine this week, and I was talking to him about some of these concepts, and we're reading another book by Tim Keller together. And these are some of the things that came out of that conversation about God and our lives. First, number one, we're not here by accident. And there is a very large number of people in the world that think that we came here simply by an accident. Something happened. We don't know what it was. Christians don't believe that it's an accident. They believe it's the design of the Creator. Christianity and our worldview is eternal, not for now only. It's forever. And there are many people that believe, and I know them personally, who believe this is all there is. So live it up and do what you want now because there's nothing else waiting after it's gone. Right? Christianity believes in eternity, not only the now. Okay? We believe in the now and into eternity. It is not of ourselves. Right? There are many people say that's about me. It's about me, and if I'm going to make something happen, it's going to be from my own doing. Don't tell me what to do. It's not based on teachings. It's not based on maxims, like these sayings. It's not mantras of sayings and things that you repeat constantly. It is through God's grace. And we're going to be hearing more about that in a couple of weeks. And then the final thing is that it's without our efforts. Before we came into being, God had a plan to create the heavens and the earth and give human beings life. And that changes everything for us. Christianity is the only worldview, really, that has a relationship with God. And that relationship is it's our loving Creator who has given us life, has made us the way we are, has blessed us that way. We are made in his image, and it's for his glory. So I pray that God will help us today to take away some of these thoughts as we ponder them and to consider them. And when you run into other worldviews, that you will not just simply cave into what the other people are saying, but that you will stand up for Jesus and that you will kindly and gently tell them what you feel. And guide them to the word of God and say, this is the Bible and this is where I get all of the things that I'm saying to you. It's not of myself. It's from God, and it's written in his word. And trust that God will help you and bless you as you witness to other people, that they will know the true Creator too. So,